This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
And welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perreault. Very pleased to be joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Dr. Paula Stewart, Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Stewart, welcome back to Lake 88.
Thank you. Good to be here again.
It is good to have you here. We have lots to cover once again, and let's begin, as we do every week, with the status of the COVID-19 situation in Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville.
Yeah. So we still have COVID infection. It's in the people who are being tested at the assessment centers, that the numbers are coming down, which is encouraging, but we still have COVID in our community. So everyone needs to continue to follow precautions. And my latest thing is I've got the big five. Do you want to hear the big five?
I'd love to.
Okay. So I'm trying to think, how can we sort of package the information so people know what are basic precautions that they can sort of have in their hands and know about as they go about their business, doing all the things we want them to be able to do and that they want to be able to do. So my big five are, first of all, not surprising, be vaccinated. Three doses is better than two. It's 61% to protect you from symptoms and 95% to protect you from hospitalizations. Number two is wear your well-fitted mask indoors in public places, or if you're with immune-compromised people. And once again, that's sort of a basic thing. It keeps the virus in your nose and throat if you have it, and because people can be asymptomatic, and it decreases the chance that you're going to breathe it in if you're exposed to someone else. So vaccinated, mask indoors in public places and with immune compromise. Number three, stay home when sick. Almost debated about putting that one first, but I thought the prevention comes first, right? The vaccine and the masking. So stay home when sick. If you're vaccinated, it's for 5 days. And then for the next five, make sure you wear your mask and you're careful. If you're not vaccinated, the 10. So number three is stay home when sick. Number three is wash your hands or sanitize them when you're out and about. The Omicron virus, was that number four? Thank you very much. Number four is wash your hands or sanitizer. So you have your little bottle of sanitizer in your purse or your pocket or whatever, because the Omicron can actually stay on hard surfaces for up to a day. And so that's the other sort of basic sort of thing. And number five is avoid crowded spaces. So with those five things, vaccinating, masking, staying home when sick, washing your hands or sanitizing, avoiding crowded spaces, to me, that's sort of a recipe for going out and about with your basic precautions in hand so that you can do the things you want to do.
It really does bring things down into a nutshell, doesn't it?
I mean, obviously, I'm hoping so.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously. That's how I view it.
Yeah, I agree 100%, you know, and I mean, we've been having these discussions for quite a while, and we know that you can certainly elaborate on each one of those points for quite a while. But the thing is, people, when they hear those five points, they'll know exactly what you mean. And I think at this point, the education is out there that you can say avoid crowded spaces, and then people will be able to tell you why.
Yeah. And it's like my whole intent right now is that people can feel comfortable doing the things that will provide the protection they need and be doing the things they want to do. Like, so it's simplifying those sort of things you can count on your hand, except I could count number four, but so that really is, you know, so that they're the basic things. Okay. I know these things. I know how to do these things. Now, what do I want to do? You know?
Yeah. And they've become pretty much ingrained in
yeah.
everyday life. And as you said, excuse me, these are things that we need because, as you've said in the past, to live not with COVID, but COVID adjacent.
Yeah. And it's true for any, it's influenza. Like, what I'm hoping is that this deep public health hope that I have is that what we've learned about decreasing risk from respiratory infection in the community stays with us, so that we do it and so that we prevent influenza, RSV, rhinovirus, all sorts of things that are spread with respiratory.
Okay. No, I think that's great.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my thought for the day.
I'm looking forward to the poster.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, we'll have one that's up in locations across the Tri-County area. Getting back to the stats, the hospitalizations seem to be pretty static, up one, down one, up one, down one. You know, it's we're hovering around that 5 to 7 to 8 mark.
Which is not surprising because when the vaccine isn't 100% effective, and for older people, they can really struggle with COVID infection. And we're getting some people with chronic health conditions in their 70s. So it's the idea is to dampen it so that we have don't have many people that need hospital care with COVID infection, so that then the hospital can be used for other people who need other kind of care. So it's not totally surprising. And it comes back to what I said at the beginning, COVID is here. Like we have infection. This is so just know that.
Yeah, exactly. And another number that I found quite reassuring was the number of outbreaks that dropped like a stone over the past
year. Yeah. So pleased so that I get these notices when an outbreak starts and when it finishes, and they're just ramping up. And every time I get outbreak closed, I say, yes, yes. And it's because the long-term care retirement homes and group homes are following precautions and people are vaccinated. Oh my gosh, it makes such a difference than 2 years ago when we had the virus just spread through long-term care retirement homes where they got it and people died. And we've had one home where we had more than one death. But in general, the vaccine, the three doses of vaccine, some are getting the fourth, and all the precautions are working. So it's very reassuring.
Yeah, indeed. Let's talk a little bit about the vaccination status in Lanark, Leeds and Granville. We can first talk about booking. Which is very important because the numbers, they continue to, I described it as inching up in some cases. Yes. Because it's, you know, it's not happening as quickly as it had happened in the past, particularly with the young people. And for that reason, we need to keep on this.
Yeah, we hit over 90% for fully vaccinated in the 5+ age group, which that's the whole population, right? Which is really, really fantastic. The 5 to 11s really are just sort of inching up now, the first dose, but boy, are they coming for that second dose. There's 41.3% have had the second dose. And the nurses who are at the clinic say it's so much fun. They love having the kids there, right? And it's so much fun having the kids there. And the kids are excited by now. They know that it doesn't hurt very much. They know the whole routine, right? By the time they're coming for the second. So really, really pleased with that. We would love to get, by the end of March, get 70% of our 5 to 11 year olds that have had their first dose. We're 64%, so it's not impossible. So we're hoping that there's sort of a rallying cry that, yes, we can do it. And the cool kind of thing is that we rented an RV for March break. So remember we did the bus?
Yeah.
Oh, we really liked that bus and how the bus was set up. And Becky Kavanaugh, who's the lead on the vaccine program, said, wouldn't it be great if we actually could have an RV and we could go around during March break and go 2 hours here, 2 hours here, all for walk-ins and so on. So we rented one, boldly rented one, and are looking at having a mobile RV that can go around communities. So we're looking if there are some people in the communities that think this would be a really good place. There are lots of people there who haven't had the vaccine or looking for their second or their third. Let us know. You can send a web mail through the website about it. We're speaking to our partners about where we could go. So the number of people coming to the clinics has really gone down. So if you want to get an appointment at a clinic, you can just about do it anytime, including lots of walk-ins. So while that's happening, then we're going to go to people. This does not sound like the summer where we did the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. So we're excited. I tell you, small things excite us.
Well, sure, small things, but it is pretty big when you think about it, because
out to people.
Yeah. It's bringing it to them. Like, especially we have such a large area. Mm-hmm. And doing this, we talked about it in the summer, as you had just mentioned, how much of a difference it made, and yeah. leading the province in vaccination rates and so on. That wasn't done by accident. That was through efforts like this. And this is what is going to close that gap. So I think it's fantastic. The only thing I'm surprised at is that somebody didn't just supply you with an RV to make this happen. But I'm not criticizing.
Oh dear. No, it's all good. Cause then you get the insurance, like it's all works out well.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. All right. No, but that's great. And I love the fact that you've set that goal, and we'll be watching that closely for sure. One thing that I always do ask you about when we talk about the kids is that, is there any update that you've heard on the kids who are under 5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my understanding is that, The states have sent Pfizer back and they're interested in more data, so that we were hoping maybe if it had gone smoothly, maybe it would be May. We're thinking now the fall. So it, so just hang tight on that one.
Okay.
Just gonna have to wait for a bit longer.
And there's a new kid on the block, sort of staying with that youngster theme, in the Novavax.
Novavax, Nuvaxovid. I practice that word so much. Nuvaxovid.
Nuvaxovid. My goodness.
But it's a really it's a usual kind of technology for doing vaccines. So it's clever actually. So they take the spike protein, and it's a nanoparticle. It's so tiny, and they wrap it around chemicals that actually enhance the immune response when the body encounters that little protein particle, so that it's something like 90 or 95% protective against symptoms. That's against Alpha. We don't know exactly what it will be against Delta and Omicron, but that's a very good response around the initial vaccine that we had in the Alpha variant. So we're hoping. So we just got more information today, actually, that we'll be able to order it from the province. It won't be in pharmacies because they don't have a lot of it. We'll be able to order it, and it could be given through primary care or at one of our clinics once we see what the demand is. And it's very specific for people who have not yet started a vaccine program, or if they had a contraindication to messenger RNA as a booster, then you could have Nuvaxovid as the booster. So very, very specific. We're just getting little bits of information from the province. They're waiting to get their first supply. So check the website. As soon as we have more information, then we'll put it up there. So it's a good alternative for people who just didn't feel comfortable with the messenger RNA. Messenger RNA is still better. So let's put that out there. But if you don't feel comfortable with it, then this is a really good alternative. And it's more effective than Johnson & Johnson. That we also had a little bit of, and so far there doesn't seem to be a serious signal, that's what they call it, around myocarditis, pericarditis, or also the thrombosis that we were experiencing before. So it's a really good option. We're excited about it. Keep checking our website. We're hoping by mid-March we might actually get some in stock, and then we'll be able to touch base both with people from the community who are interested in knowing about it and getting it, and also primary care. So,
well, we look forward to you.
It's good.
Yeah, we look forward to you sharing more information with us as we move on here as well, and as we get closer to you acquiring it. There's some smart people working on this, aren't there?
Oh my gosh, isn't it exciting?
Yeah.
And I read about these things, right? Because that's my want. To take the tiny little protein. It's a nanoparticle. Anyways, it is. It's very exciting. So if you really like the detail, then go to the NACI website and you can read all about it.
Okay. Now, just before we get to our questions for Ask Dr. Stewart, there is one thing that we wanted to talk about that is a little bit off topic here, and that has to do with a special mental hygiene campaign. Now, there's a term I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, no, I wasn't either. The Royal Ottawa Mental Health Centre have coined this because there's the hygiene is the things that you wash your hands, you wash your hair, you have showers, you brush your teeth. Those are all sort of basic things you do, hygiene things that you do. And what they're suggesting is we should do mental health hygiene as well. We should be thinking about the things that we should routinely be doing for our health, for our mental health. And so we've got it's a sort of a campaign all through March, and there's a link on our website that people can go to. You can sign up for the program, and it's really sensible. And I think the timing is really good because a lot of people really struggle with the darkness of winter and the inability to get out and do things they did before. And so this is the time when you really, I think, need a pick-me-up. And the idea is to develop habits that you then use all the time. And there are things like deep breathing. Like, it's incredible. If you take deep breaths, hold them in, and slowly let them out, your brain actually calms down, and all those thoughts swirling around calm down as you center yourself in your body and who you are and your feet on the ground. Mindfulness, being aware of who you are, who you're with, what are you doing, really pausing in the moment and taking all of that in. Gratitude, gratitude for the things that you're thankful for in your life. Journaling. We do a lot of journaling in our family. So they've got lots and lots of things that, and you could choose the things that will suit you to really focus on your mental health and doing the basic, simple kind of things, just like you do to look after the rest of your body. So go to the website, check it out. Lots of good information there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting because I was just having a conversation similar to this with my wife last night. We were talking about things that we can do to, you know, if we're feeling down or having a bad day or something like that, you know, you're stressed with work, something that you can do to help make yourself feel better. And one of the things, and it sounds like it would fit in with this, one of the things that I do is there's a certain video that makes me smile like you would not believe. Just releases the endorphins, and I'm just you know, happy for a couple of, and I'll just sit there, I'll take a little breather, I'll watch that video, and then I'm smiling, and then I get back into it. It sounds like that's the type of thing that gets right into it.
Yeah, and actually, it'll be fun to hear from other people what kinds of things they do as well. Because it's really, really important.
And this campaign is running for the entire month of March. Is that right?
Yeah, go to our website and you can link into it.
I think we might have to do an in focus with somebody from a mental health field.
That would be a great idea.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should get somebody in to talk about this. I love the idea. Okay, well, we're going to move on to Ask Dr. Stewart now. We talked about this before, how as things are progressing and as things are moving along well, we don't have as much to talk about, which is a good thing because we're into this sort of routine.
People know a lot.
Yeah, they know a lot and they're observing the big five.
There you go.
What I did, I wrapped it back.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
but we still do have a couple of questions, of course, and anyone who would like to ask a question can do so by emailing us at info@lake88.ca. No question is off the table. Send that in before Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. We'll get it to the doctor. And of course, she will answer it on the air like she is just about to do. So number one, a question for you about what is the best medically, or what, sorry, a question for you about what is best medically during this time of the pandemic. Is it safe for vaccinated and non-vaccinated individuals to be eating indoors in a public space? And of course, it has to be without masks. Is 2 meters of space between enough, or should it just not happen? So someone who's wondering about the restrictions that have just been eased.
Yeah, I love this question because it really, I can see that someone would really like to go out for lunch with some people and wondering, is it okay or not? And I think that so many of us are thinking like that now. And my answer is, it depends. So that if both parties are following those five things, so they're not sick, they've been vaccinated, they have been careful in terms of where they have been, so there's less chance that they've been exposed to someone, then it's okay to sit and have lunch with someone, recognizing there is always a potential risk that the other person may have COVID and be asymptomatic. And so you go into it knowing that. And if you're someone who wants to avoid COVID at all costs, then you probably wouldn't do that. And you'd probably go for a walk with them outside instead. So it's all about deciding what's important to you. What are the things you can put in so that it's going to be as safe as possible? And then there's that little window of, well, is it 100%? Well, there's not 100% in a lot of things in life. And if it's really important to do that, then you go ahead and do it. So hopefully that helps the person. It isn't a black and white kind of question. It depends. And it depends how important it is. And then whether you're comfortable with each other.
There's a lot of factors.
A lot of factors. And just think it out. And remember that that you need to be doing things that are important to you and that you care about. And then you'd use the big five to be able to do them as safe as possible.
Yeah. And have a conversation with the person that you're going to meet. If it's not, you know, just going to dinner with your wife or whatever, or husband or partner, then certainly have a conversation with that person that you're going to meet and say, okay, this, I can do this, but here's, you know, where I am, where are you?
Yeah, I think so. And there are lots of things to do outside that where you don't have to worry about being inside masked in a closed environment. And if you can be 2 meters apart, then it helps. It's all of those, just, yeah, think it out and then make a decision.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, number two. I was wondering what you do if you've tested positive for COVID, but then a new symptom arises a short time later after isolation time. It's not recommended to retest within 30 days, as it's possible you still show as positive, but you don't pass the screening tool. It's highly unlikely that you have COVID again. So how do you go about this?
Okay. So really, really good question. Absolutely right. Both with the rapid antigen test and with the PCR test, you can test positive sort of with residual virus that actually isn't causing any problem in you and can't be spread. So, and the provincial guideline now is that it's unlikely that if you've had a positive COVID test and so had COVID, it's unlikely that you're going to get COVID again in the next 3 months. And so that if you develop other symptoms, so you've had a positive, you had symptoms, you had a positive COVID test. If you develop symptoms, it's more likely they are due to something other than COVID. So you stay home. You got symptoms, you stay home. That's number three. You stay home until you're feeling better. No fever. You're not coughing. That you're going to spread whatever it is you had. So the guideline is that up to 3 months. It's unlikely that you had COVID. Now, if in that 3 month period, you just have the congestion, that's one thing. But if you have full blown myalgia, you have loss of taste, of smell, those kinds of stuff, then you might very well have COVID again. So you have to temper that with what the symptoms are. And then you could take another test and see. But in general, the thinking is that the antibodies that you will develop from having COVID will hold you about 3 months.
But don't look at it as a, you know, get out of jail free card. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But don't, because no, like you said,
you've got something going on.
Yeah, exactly. And number three, as you just said, is stay home if you're sick. So if you're sick, stay home.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. That's the way it boils down. So it's
all of these things, there's always nuances to them, right? Which is why these are such good questions.
Really. Absolutely. Yeah. It's true. And I mean, you give these great answers to these questions every week, but of course, there's certainly, they can lead to other questions. And that's what happens here, you know, quite often as we talk about this. So once again, if people would like to get their questions in, just email them to info@lake88.ca and Dr. Stewart will be happy to answer them. Before I let you go, just wanted to mention, I forgot that we are going to be entering into the next round of public health measures that are eased March 1st. Mm-hmm. So what can you tell us about that as we head into, you know, this, it's, what is that, next Tuesday?
Yeah. So I don't have any, the information we've been given is that Dr. Moore is reviewing the data and then we'll make a decision. If you're interested, people are interested in seeing what the regulations will be. They're really, really reduced. So go do Ontario Regulation 364/20. That will take you directly to the regulation for step three. And then at the very bottom of sort of a 20-page list of regulations and requirements is exiting from step three. And it's very limited. Masking will still be required in indoor spaces. And I think there still has to be a safety plan, but there's not very much. So at that point, like we're getting the sense that the emergency that started 2 years ago where, oh my gosh, what is this? How are we going to respond? What do we do? We're not really in an emergency situation anymore. We're now in a situation where we know a lot about the virus and we know what we need to do. And so we need to do it. And I think the lifting of provincial regulations is because the province had to interfere when there was a sense of emergency and that people really needed to do very specific things. Now that we're in a point that the healthcare system is coping pretty well, now it comes back to us. And we don't need the government to be telling us what to do because we know what to do. So it's a change, which I think is a good thing. So if you want to know what might come, go to Ontario Regulation 364/20.
And just before I let you go, when you speak like that, again, it has to do with, as they've said, living with COVID, as you've said, living alongside COVID. Really, that can't be misinterpreted, but people are as saying that COVID is over.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It isn't really.
No, it's not over, and it's not going to. So what's happened in the last couple of years, and this is common with respiratory viruses, is that it's not as easily transmitted when the temperature is warmer, moister, because then the virus doesn't hang in the air as long. And we are out and about more, so we're not in those closed spaces as much. But then it still is there, and it will come back. So we absolutely, like, if you look on our, I think we had something like 30 new cases yesterday, and those are only the ones that we know about, because those are the ones that can test. So no, the virus is absolutely here. And it's a matter of, we know what to do about it now. And so we can make those decisions collectively that can make a difference.
So as we head into the next level, if you will, the next step is more restrictions. We have to remember to live with it, but to be responsible, not only for ourselves, but for each other, like you've been telling us to do for the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Excellent.
That's exactly right.
Well, Dr. Stewart, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you. Really appreciate the information that you bring. Next week, I expect to receive in the mail a poster with the big five on it so that we can start plastering those around. And take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Paula Stewart, Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit, our guest every Wednesday here on In Focus. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safe and have a wonderful afternoon.
In Focus on Lake 88.